Well, ladies, welcome back to the table for our Bible study session today. I've got Connie Stampfel here standing by. Hey, Connie, how are you doing?
Hello, Amy.
We've got a lot to cover today. We're going to take today's lesson, number 16. It's chapter 7 of Genesis. We're going to do the entire chapter today. This is on the flood. We're breaking it up into two segments. And what I'm going to do is read the first segment. This is preparing for the flood. And then I'll stop and Connie will teach and then we'll pick it up as the flood begins. All right, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 through 24, and we'll read the first 10 verses here. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives were with him on the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of the clean animals and of the animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And we're going to stop there, and Connie is going to teach what we've just read.
Well, notice here again, Noah did as God commanded. He was obedient to God, and in his obedience, he is preserving both his family and representatives of every animal species, the ones that had the breath of life in them, the ones that would be destroyed in the flood. Verse 1 here, going back to the top of chapter 7, we find the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark." And so this is a command. And yes, Noah and his family were saved, but they also had to obey. They had some human responsibility. If they chose not to get into the ark, they would not have been saved. And so I think we as we picture salvation and as we see even the salvation we have in Christ, we need to understand there is an element of human responsibility of responding rightly to God's word and repenting of our sins and turning to trust in Christ. But just notice, again, Noah and his family had to walk onto the ark. God didn't force them into the ark. They needed to choose to go in. And then we find that Noah is supposed to take with him the animals. And here we have another detail. Verse 2 tells us, "Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals." And literally the Hebrew is 7 sevens. And so we're not sure if God meant 7 animals or 14, because a pair of 7 females and 7 males. That's how most versions translate it, 7 pairs, which seems to make sense. And clean animals are going to be those that God says are right for the Hebrews to eat, and also the ones that some of them will be used for sacrifice, because the Hebrews did not sacrifice unclean animals such as pigs. And so as we think about this, the need after the flood, because they're going to be allowed to eat meat, they need more of those kinds of animals, and so more needed to go into the ark. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So that's really the thought of what's going on here. And the number of those animals, again, according to their kinds, definitely would have fit on this ark. I'll also have to say, I make a correction from the last time we recorded. I said 122 boxcars in cubic volume in the ark, and it's actually 522.
Wow, so, even bigger.
There was excess capacity. That's okay. The bottom line, I think, for us to understand. Here we have then the animals are coming in, and we've got pairs of birds and 7 pairs of the clean birds, and the reason is to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. And so God in his grace is not destroying the life that's going to go on. He's going to preserve life on the earth. And then God says, "For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I've made I will blot out from the face of the ground." We keep hearing this 13 times through this account of how God is going to destroy everything that's alive. And just what we know from the fossil record, Amy, is that there was widespread destruction, because the fossil record is a record of death.
Yeah.
And just incredible layers of animals that have died, with the largest animals on the top and the smaller ones on the bottom. And it's
fascinating.
It is. And if we look at the fossil record, understanding what God has told us in Genesis, it actually makes more sense.
But it does. I'm sure Nancy will have a lot more to say in the next segment about that, because she follows that quite faithfully. So it's fascinating. It really is.
Well, good. She can share insights and help teach us all some things. And then we're going to find verse 6 that says, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And I love the detail in Scripture. This was a real event. This happened at a certain time in Moses' life. And God is so gracious to give us the details about how this all came to be. And then it says in verse 7, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. And so they obeyed. They did what God said. And then the animals also went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded him.
All right. Well, why don't we read the next portion? Now, this is where it gets very interesting, because the flood is coming. Pick it up in verse 10. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all of the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two, of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out everything that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
Thank you, Amy. Just notice what Amy just read at the very end of that section. We find out that the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Sometimes we forget. We think about that 40 days and 40 nights of rain and the floodgates of the deeps opened and water covering it. Noah and his family were actually on the ark about a year.
Yes.
And so we got to kind of just keep that in mind. That's a long time, but that's just part of what's going on here. And it shows how extreme the flood was. And truly, it was a global flood, because we saw in where you read it said that the mountaintops were covered to a depth of, I think it was 15 cubits. That's actually 22.5 feet. And
wow.
So whatever the tallest mountain at that time was, it was completely covered. And that does mean that everything did die.
Yes.
And also you think about the extent of the time that they were in the ark. It also speaks to, even if somebody could climb a tree or be in a little boat, you wouldn't be able to survive that long through that global of a flood. I think one other thing to just recognize also is that we know from ancient accounts that there's at least, I think there's over 200 different accounts of a global flood.
Yes.
In ancient peoples. And they all kind of have a basic thing. The gods were angry with people. The gods sent a flood, but one man and his family and animals were saved. And so
yeah.
That part they got right. They didn't quite get exactly what God's judgment was against, but I think as we consider this and as we look at what the account of Noah is, we see that it truly was a global flood.
Yes, indeed.
And And as Nancy talks more about the fossil record, she can probably give you more of the scientific or the facts that are present there that may help us understand this in a deeper way. What we also need to pay attention to right here, though, is, again, we've got the details of all what happened about Noah, how old he was and when it happened the day the flood started.
Yes.
We don't know his calendar, so we can't pinpoint the day, but God knows, and he was very specific about when this judgment happened. And I think that's really, as we consider what Scripture says, when God says he will do something, he does it in his perfect time, not too late, not too early, as he says. Another thing to recognize here is in verse 16, it says, "And the Lord shut him in." And so here we have the covenant name of God for Israel. I am Yahweh, the Lord, is the one who shuts them in the ark, because it needed to be shut from the outside. And so here we have God's divine salvation of them. We talked about human responsibility, but also we have God's action, because God's the one who takes care to make sure the door is shut and water's not going to get in.
That makes perfect sense. And I know we're also going to talk more about shutting the door too in the next segment.
Yeah. And the other part of it is we see, and we know from what we've studied before, that Noah preached to the people of his day. And we're told that God gave him a warning of 7 days. The flood's going to start in 7 days. Go in the ark. I guess, and this is just my guess, that at least it was an opportunity for other people to join them if they wanted to. Don't know, but
We have opportunities today to share this great hope that we have before the door is shut.
Right. And so it's a beautiful thing to see God working to save people. We're going to look at, again, that idea of salvation. And I have a favorite scripture about salvation, which as when I taught through Jonah recently, it just really struck me. And it has to do with how God is the one who saves us. So if you would read that, Amy, and this is Jonah speaking from the depth of being in the belly of the whale.
Yes, that's one of my favorites as well. It says in chapter 2, verse 9, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord."
So Jonah learned an important lesson in the belly of the fish. He learned that only God can save. And truly, the rest of his life is going to be a testament to only God can save. Another thing, as we consider this lesson, and we kept hearing again how all flesh died, and that was God's purpose in the flood, we also know that God will again judge the earth. And we find that 2 Peter tells us what that is going to look like. And so, Amy, if you would read the passage from 2 Peter 3.
Sure. It says, "For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly."
All right. And so as we consider the flood account, and then we know from 2 Peter, Peter writing to us and telling us about a coming day of judgment, the next judgment will not be a judgment by a global flood, but it will be a judgment of fire. And I think what we need to keep in mind is just how God is just, and he does have wrath against sin. And unless we are saved and we're in Jesus Christ, we and the people around us are not going to survive God's wrathful judgment. And as we consider this lesson, I'd ask each one of us to just really look at God's grace, but also God's judgment, and think about how that would change how we might interact with other people, what we might say to them, how we could talk to them about really what is happening and will happen.
Amen, Connie. Well, thank you for that. Ladies, there is more on that very topic and more on this Bible study in the study guide notes, which you'll find on our website today. We're going to take a break, and as promised, Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what you just heard.